All right, we're going to start with our next session, which is the revalidation in response to CVEs, which is one of the working groups under the CMUF. Our presenter is Fabian DeVoiser, and he is a certification engineer at Talos eSecurity. He is in charge of the security certification, FIPS 140, PCI HSM, Common Criteria, and ICP. His past experience includes high-level certification, EAL 5+, of smart card products and standardization efforts in Europe. Please welcome Fabian.
Thank you. So I'm going to put up a timer such as I can track my time. You hear me good? Yeah. So, okay, guys, thank you for being there for the second day of the conference. We finally halved the conference, and I have a specific time slot, actually, and I have a complete control over your lunch time. So, the door is still open, so if you want to go, it's fine, and if not, I just need to warn you that I have 12 slides, so it's going to take some time. And I would say maybe you're a little bit tired, so if you can just contribute to like a little exercise to relax and move a little bit your head and your hands, please. Can you do it, please? Yeah, sure. Okay, well, I'm going to do it then. Yeah, good. Thank you. Yeah, good. So, yeah, I'm going to just ask you like a quick introduction because I think it's important to introduce the subject. And so it's a working group we will see a little bit later. But yeah, I just wanted to see who is our audience. So I would ask gently the CMVP to raise the hand. Okay, good. So sorry, I don't know.
Ryan Durant.
Aha, okay, good. Good to see you. Okay, so good. So. The next step is for the labs, if they can just raise their hands. Okay, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, good, 6. Okay, that's good. And I wanted to ask a last question. Is the number of developers that are facing the vulnerabilities in their development cycle? So definitely me. Okay, well. So there's a lot of those developers. And so I wanted to make the FIPS 140-2 certification great again, so that's the topic of it. So a little bit of background with a quote by Bruce Lee, which is, knowing is not enough, we must apply, and winning is not enough, we must do. So I think the CMUF is a good way of starting doing things and moving a little bit the old style of doing the certification process. So I think we did like some great movement there. In terms of background then and history, so during ICMC 2016, I gave a presentation on reconciling vulnerability response with certification. And I was most likely claiming the need of having a dedicated framework for the FIPS 140 security updates. After that, there was a working group created after this ICMC that was called the Revalidation in Response to CVE. We had many meetings, monthly meetings, most likely 1 hour, and a certain numbers of people were participated, so that's good, not enough from the vendor side. We will see it just in the next slides. And now today, ICMC 2017, a working group status that will probably lead soon to an update to the IGG.8. So even though it's a small thing, I think it's going to change a little bit the software development lifecycle, where you can finally have a real effective response to a security update. So the participants. Active participants to this working group was Ryan Thomas and Ashit Vora for Acumen, Renaud Nunez and Yimao from ATSEC, some CMVP people, Caroline French and Ryan Oran. Sorry, Jennifer, I know you were part as well, so sorry not mentioning your name. Signacom's Nitya was representing as well. EWA, we had like three people, Richard, John, and JC, and myself for the vendor side. So you see in the bottom right part of the slide, a perspective of the different participants, and it was mostly the laboratory, so I would like to thanks to them, but CMVP was participating, I think that's a good point, but I was the only vendor representative, and yeah, hopefully now we are at a level of readiness that would be great to have some people joining from the vendor side. So yeah, here I would like to give you a little bit of context. So a security vulnerability are issued and publicly disclosed. So that's the concept of the CVE. Sorry, I didn't want you to put that directly, but just... So basically a CVE, I don't know if you're familiar with it. Is there anybody not familiar with a CVE in the room? Wow, so I'm in front of cultivated security people. And basically the problem with a CVE is that it's something that is just brought up, publicly available, everyone knows about it, and that affects us vendors a lot because we need to provide an update, a software update in a timely manner to correct this CVE, or at least a response to say, hey, our software is great and we do not have any problems. And so, as I said, there's an urge for the developers to analyze and respond to it. So most likely, certification is not doing a good job there, and we have the update that is ready, and some customer cannot use them, because finally, customer and particularly those that really need the FIPS 140-2 certification, they need the certification, and they cannot, so they won't effectively update, and the product has still a known vulnerability, which I think is really bad for the security of the product. This is a quick point on saying that I don't think it's only applicable to CVE, because there's multiple different ways of reporting a public vulnerability. CVE is one way. So as Thales, we were looking on putting some public vulnerability as a CVE list, but there's multiple different ways of reporting it, and we have our own process. I guess a lot of people has this good practice as having a vulnerability process. And I had a look quickly to the G.8, extensively, I would say. And currently, we have three ways of doing it. So just the red part here, I will explain it later, but it's not a highlight. It's just something that was not discussed in the working group. So we have three different ways of doing it. Number one, one SERP for non-FIPS security relevant. That doesn't mean that there's no security vulnerability. The three SERP if there is something that touched the security relevant, but there you have like some vendors that do like multiple, like extensive recertification with the barrier of less than 30% of security updates. Because finally, when we're talking about a security vulnerability update, it's basically two lines of code that will be updated. And the five SERP if it's a security relevant with a different lab. So to come back to the red part, I think it's something that is missing, that finally, if I need to do a software update into my product and sell it to my customer, the stamp from the FIPS certification would be one sub or three sub, but that do not demonstrate really that it's something that is important to respond to a security vulnerability. And I think maybe we can work out something to demonstrate that it's in response to a vulnerability. And so the last points are some bullets to say that certification is important, it's a market differentiator. You still need to have like the right trade-off between the certification and security, such as certification is still having a level of value. And I think we need a certification that can adapt to the speeds. A lot of developers are most likely using Agile, so it's faster and faster and faster. And plus, for the cryptographic module particularly, we are dealing with a lot of like complex products that embeds like different multiple libraries, so it can be a mess, complex. So we will see quickly, and I would like to highlight the two last bullet points. I think we need. I think it's really important to have the certification, and that's a key element to value a security to a vendor. So I think we need to work out something to really value the FIPS 140-2 stamp. And the last point, I'm a little bit sorry for that, NIST, but it's just based on, it's not official, it's just like some discussion, so sorry for that. But I heard sometimes that it was recommended to use the latest security updated version of a software rather than just having a vulnerability. And I think that's a good statement in a way, but that does not value the certification again. So here, a small interruption because I'm speaking a lot. And I just wanted to show you this guy. I don't know him, but I find that's a beautiful picture. And I just wanted you to close your eyes because I have a huge light, so we won't go quickly into it. And well, this was based on the IGG.A that was done a little bit before and that was modified recently for the IG update for preparation of the ICMC 2017, where they introduced a scenario too. So whatever, just to present that, and I invite you to download the slide and read further into details and comment or whatever. So here, the key elements, the proposal by the working group is proposing an update of this IG for dealing with those type of vulnerability, and as well define a precise template to report the update. So defining what has been done, what are the activities that needs to be done, how you can assess that effectively this is only that type of correction, and rationale over the different TEAS activities with a presentation of the update in a formal way. So here we're going to go into the proposed update of the IGG.8 a little bit, or maybe. So that was just an attempt. Let's switch this slide, sorry. So. Okay, no, that's perfect. I'm here, that's perfect. So discussion highlights between the different elements that we had was CMVP is interested and receptive for that, so I believe that we will update at some point the element. A dedicated submission that would be good. So we don't know really how to categorize it, if it should be like the number two, an additional 1C or whatever. I believe that maybe having a dedicated number to it will really clarify to the customer to show that it's a real value, but again, that's something to be discussed. We think it's good to be included into the G.8 and how to reflect the version with a certificate, creation of a certificate caveat. Well, that's further discussion, but that's some consideration to have. And so for the next step, for the question marks on the proposition, further analysis needed, so it's for further in the presentation. So here was like a small slide to bring a little bit of fun. So I said, I'm still not convinced that listing the CVE in the SP, that was one of the requests to say, hey, so I update my product, my cryptographic module, and the group wanted to list the CVE into the security policy or an annex of the security policy. But I'm not convinced that's the right vision for it, because after all, if we do that, we will be tracking all the time what type of vulnerability is this product is compliant to this type of CVE, has it been taken into account, so it's going to be most likely a mess. So I'm not in favor to recommend it, but I think that we need to list the reason of why the update has been done. So I don't know, we still need to work out a little bit, and I would like to mature that part. So Caroline French said, we don't need any measurement except the precise CVE. And she said also, it needs to be short and few testing. So yeah, we don't want to redo all the complete testing and it's not the right approach. Row note, which is, I don't see him. I see you. Good. So he said we need a good product versioning for themes. I think it's important. A future area for improvement. And I have a last comment from Nitya. But I don't see her. And she said we would rather call it management of vulnerability. But I think we're still in the right thing. So quickly, proposing for the update of the IG is impact analysis report when you do the complete description of it with the identification of the vulnerability, the product, the source code extracts that has been corrected to show that everything went fine, and with an analysis from the T's that are impacted. As well, after that, the validation by the lab that perform a report based on a dedicated template, and I think we don't need any functional testing. Maybe something that would validate the runtime validation to show that still the module is behaving as expected. An SP update to update the software firmware reference, the vulnerability to be listed in the appendix. I'm still not sure I put it there because we need to discuss further about it. And this point is something that I just brought up. I want to catalyze my customer. I speak as a developer, and I think all the developers agree. I want to catalyze the customer to update quickly. But there's no universal agreement yet on what it will look, and that information will be shared later on. And the certification status as well. So it implies that previous certification is no longer valid. And it needs to be TBD for the rest, because some medication sometimes can be done. You can maybe deactivate the specific functionality. Let's say it's a vulnerability in PKCS 11. Sorry for that. You can just deactivate it or do something like this. So, and I don't want a sunsetting of the policy. I don't want to extend the validity of the certificate. I don't want developers. That's my position, I think. We want a very quick response to the vulnerability. We don't want to extend the certificate. If you want to extend the certificate, then we do a 3-sub to re-perform a complete analysis. So here is going to really give you some headache to read that, but yeah, I don't want to read that. It's just something that I've written, and I'm going to submit it to the group for validation, and that's not the intent, so I'm going to just let it if some people want to flash it. Bram Costa is already taking a picture of it. And that's it. That's the end of the presentation. Yes, I have 2:40. So if anyone has some question on that, and if you can say if you're a developer or a lab, that would be appreciated. Sorry, I don't know you.
So, John Roman, I'm a developer with F5.
Okay.
How does this integrate with the automated testing, that's automated algorithm testing that Apostle and a number of others talked about earlier today?
Automated testing is one working group. This is one other working group, and we didn't communicate yet on how to integrate. But definitely there's some work to do, and if you have some good proposition, you're welcome to join.
I don't know if I have a proposition, but I would say that, you know, he was talking about updating certificates after CVE, well, not specifically CVEs, but security updates. So it seems like you guys are very close in the space.
Hmm? Yeah. Thank you. To comment, there's one effort into the ACBP, but here, after, it's more like modifying the certification process. And I think it's two different efforts, because you need to update the IG. The ACBP didn't discuss about updating the IG yet, as far as I know.
Hi. So in a Linux distribution, right, mm-hmm. where there are hundreds of packages, mm-hmm. and each package has potential vulnerabilities, right? As you know, CVEs.
Definitely, and it's a headache.
Out there. Mm-hmm. So I believe the scope of this particular group is limited only to the cryptographic library that actually does cryptography, right? Not the, because in a distribution, right, there are applications within the distribution mm-hmm. which are by themselves vulnerable. So I believe that, you know, you should keep the scope right to the crypto library and do not extend it to, you know, because that is hugely important for the vendors. That's what I'm saying.
To not treat the particular CVE and only the vulnerability on the crypto, you mean?
Yeah, the crypto library is what is interested, which is of interest to CMVP, right?
I don't know,
all
because...
All the CAF certificate are done on the crypto library.
Oh, sorry. Okay, it's over. No. That's a good point. Yeah. I think at the real beginning, we were discussing about precisely having all the CVEs, because sometimes a CVE can lead to a particular vulnerability in your products that needs to be taken into consideration, and you still cover the certification with the CVE, depending on your FIPS scope. But the problem is that if you don't do it, maybe you can have a vulnerability, your product is going to leave. Well, you need the certification and you have no alternative currently.
You got to be
maybe we can discuss a little bit further.
Okay, please be very...
yeah, I mean, maybe let's just discuss it out, of pen. Yeah, sure. Last question.
So why only public vulnerabilities? So it said CVEs or other... But this seems to be another reason for a vendor, like some of us here, to not publish that we have privately found vulnerabilities also in a crypto library. And so, because if we disclosed it, you know, it's sort of this catch-22.
Right. So
maybe I have to disclose it first so that I can get my own CVE so that then I can have this special...
I think I understand your point. It's a good practice to disclose your vulnerability. Having a vulnerability management, after it depends on the policy of your company.
Yes, but and if you've had time to actually fix it across all of your product
But that's
lines.
The point. If you have the control of when you can deliver the vulnerability disclosure to your customer and propose at the same time a software update and with a certified version, then you're good to go.
So I
won't disclose any vulnerability. But after there's some like request by some standards to say, hey, within 24 hours you need to advise the customer. But currently, I think it's going to be complex. If you say, hey, I find a vulnerability, okay, so I'm going to publicly disclose it, and after maybe I'm going to work for. Now, I think the natural flow is like updating the software and looking for certifications. That's really the key element to reconcile the two. Reconcile it, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Fabian.